don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. Cold never bothered me anyway.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Do you remember whose music that is? It's our friend Mary O'Brien, and she is a retired educator. She is self-employed now as an educator consultant, and we are thrilled to have her with us.
Hello!
Oh, goodness, Mary, you're quite loud.
Oh!
Okay, great. Mary, we're so happy that you're here. Thank you.
Well, me too. Thank you. So, thank you for giving me the chance to talk to you.
Well, I'm so happy to chat with you. So tell us a little bit about how you have been.
You know, I've really been as good as I could possibly be. I think that's the way I put it. Every day I tell people, I hope you had the best day you could have possibly had. Yeah, that's what I strive for every day. If I get to bed at night and I can still say my prayers, I think I'm okay.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. Mary, I know that you have been doing some educating, but you did take some time off, didn't you, just to kind of regroup? Or did you just miss chatting it up with people?
Well, I think I knew going into retirement that I wasn't done teaching, that I would really miss that. So before I left, every time I teach a class, I always pay homage to Hastings Community Education, and in particular, the wonderful people that really influenced me and informed my work from the Senior Center, because I had a chance while I was working to listen to them and to talk with them about what is it that's going to be important to you as you go into this later phase of your life. And so from that, I developed a little tiny company called The Road Next Taken, and what I'm doing now is I have actually 10 different classes that are dealing with the emotional and psychosocial aspects of retirement and getting older. You know, jokingly, my elevator speech is I teach classes for old people.
That's something I know, though, that you were doing before you left your job in Hastings, and it was something that you thought was important to kind of get you ready for retirement also.
Yep. Besides working with Lori Thrush and with working with a senior center program, I started out thinking I would mostly do classes on helping people do their healthcare directive, which has actually turned out to be, at this stage, something that people are kind of poking their heads up and saying, maybe I should pay attention to that, given what's going on in the world. And actually, I'll tell you a quick story. My husband and I did our healthcare directives, and one of my daughters is my healthcare agent. And your healthcare agent should always be someone who can ask you the tough questions. So we were in Florida from February to April, and I know my sister always says, nobody feels sorry for you that you spent the last 3 months in Florida in quarantine on the beach in Florida. And I'm like, no, I'm not asking anybody to feel sorry for me. You know, I just know what an incredible blessing it was every single day to be able to be outside and to look at the Gulf. So one day she called. We FaceTimed every day, but one day she said, I have a hard question to ask you, Mom. I said, okay. And she goes, if something happens to you, if you catch the virus, what do you want me to do? Because she would have to make those decisions. And she goes, I won't be able to get down to Florida, and even if I could, they're not going to let me in to see you, so what do you want me to do? And I said, well, I want you to have them throw everything at it, because I'm so young, in my head at least, and I'm still healthy. I said, but if it gets to the point where they've done everything they can, I said, give the ventilator to the next person who needs it. But that, I think, is a real good example of what your healthcare agent has to be able to do. They have to be able to have those difficult conversations with you. You need to pick somebody who can do that. So I thought I would just be doing healthcare classes and got trained to do that through Honoring Choices Minnesota. But then what I found out when I started teaching was that people were really interested in not just that, but in all those psychosocial aspects of getting older that pop up when you do like your healthcare directive or you do your will or start to think about the changes that you're going to make. There are the nuts and bolts of it, but you can't get to the nuts and bolts until you think about what is it that you want and work through the emotions that are involved in that. So that's what my classes do.
So when you started just with the healthcare directives, did you have some of these other classes in your head or did you have to put those together? And what were some of the things that people were saying they also wanted to talk about?
Actually, our good friend Bill Spinelli, doctor, he had been doing some work over at the University in Minnesota. And from conversations I had with him, and he also shared some of his work with me, I developed a class called Fearless Aging that talks about what happens as you get older and how you make the most of what you got. And also, if you want to go gently, if you don't want to fall apart at the seams, there are things that we can do as we're getting older to help us stay fit and to stay healthy and to maximize what life looks like for us. One of the big ones I started in Hastings that I'm still surprised how interested people are, and it'll be interesting now to see what happens, was a 50-plus travel class. It was a conversation where people would come together. I mean, I put together a few tips, but then people talk about where they've been and what they've done and websites they use. And so those things started there, and then it just grew from that.
I know that you have some other classes that you have been teaching around the area and also in Hastings, some things coming to Hastings. What are you excited about?
So one of the classes that I ended up developing, mostly not for older people, but for their children, it's called Can You Avoid Parenting Your Parents?
And what's the answer to that, Miss Mary?
No, but everything, Mo. On all the classes that I teach, everything comes back to communication. It's about talking about the things that are important to you. And the first person you have a conversation with is yourself. You say to yourself, what's important to me? As I'm getting older, what's important to me? And then if that's important, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to make sure that I maintain the quality of life that I want? And then who do I have to drag into this with me? And that class, actually, when I teach it, it ends up being people who are already in the middle of it with their parents. And I've done that. I work also with an organization does some corporate work, and so I've taught that at a couple companies, mostly in downtown Minneapolis. And it's people who are already at a place where their parents are requiring their help, and how do you maintain integrity and dignity for both the parent and the child and work in a way that enables that relationship to stay strong.
When you said that one of your daughters is your agent, was that a deliberate pick? Do you have to look at the personalities?
Absolutely. I knew my husband was the wrong person because he's a wonderful man, but it would just be so hard for him to make a difficult decision that I wouldn't want to ever put him in that place. Actually, when we did our healthcare directives and we sat down and had a family meeting around it, we went out and had a nice lunch, and then we sent the son-in-laws and daughter-in-law away with the grandchildren, and then it was just the four biological children and my husband and myself. And like even with things on the will, attorneys recommend that you just keep it in the bloodline, that you don't bring in the in-laws. I had a conversation with them first and said, you know, it's not that I don't love you, but this is the way we're going to do it, and you'll really need to be there to support your wife or your husband, and you'll also need to be able to hold them up when this whole thing is falling apart, because it will. So we sat and we went through both our will and our healthcare directives with the kids, and I think that's absolutely crucial that the adults, the older people, tell everybody at the same time what their intentions are, because then there's never any not that it's going to make it a lot easier, but I think at least ameliorate part of the miscommunication that could happen. You know, mom told me this, and no, mom never told me that. I mean, we find that out as we get older. You know, my sisters and brother and I have talked about our parents, and we just laugh, you know, that we had different parents. There have been a couple times that, you know, I've said, what household were you living in? But that could happen. So when I indicated that Maggie was my healthcare agent, I said, you know, now I understand that she's not going to do this by herself. I don't anticipate, you know, like you all are going to walk away and she's going to just be there. You'll all be together. You'll all be weighing in. But she's the final decision maker, and here's what I need. I need for all of you not to get in her way. Mm-hmm. So when she makes that decision, you are all standing shoulder to shoulder with each other. Because I've seen that. So there, you know, as I've talked the last couple of years, there are so many stories that people bring in about how things go south. And what it all boils down to is if they've been able to talk about it, it still might have gone south, but maybe, you know, only as far as Iowa instead of...
Florida. Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Okay. Mary, tell me about the stress management for people 50 plus.
So one of the interesting things for a lot of people as they get older is they're really surprised that there's still stressors in their life. Because most people focus their stress or their source of stress is work. And so once you walk away from work, you think, well, what do I have to stress you? Well, there was a thing going around on Facebook this last year about if you had adult children, don't your adult children still drive you crazy? And they do. There's always something they're saying or not saying. And then as my sister says, it multiplies because now you have all the grandchildren you have to worry about. So that class looks at, just reminds us that we know how to handle stress. We've done it our whole life. And that what we're going to always fall back on is what are those stress management techniques we use that are effective. So we just review a bunch of those, and then I remind people not to use things that don't work for them.
Right.
Because people will do that. They'll fall back on it, and they'll go, oh, well, this doesn't work. Still doing it. That's one of the great things about getting older is you just kind of go, okay, well, I don't have to do that anymore. So that's what that class does. It really focuses on what is it that stresses us as we're older, and then what do we do about it? Right.
Mary, tell me about the Staying Connected class, please.
Probably one of the greatest ways that people are connected when they're working is with their coworkers. Like, I knew more about my coworkers' families than I maybe knew what was even going on with my own kids when I was working, because you saw them every day. So you have work friendships, but you don't have to do anything to stay socially connected when you're working, because it's an automatic. You walk in the door and somebody says hello to you and you're off and running. Once you're retired, you don't have that anymore. Before public health was so tied into COVID, they were looking at a public health problem of loneliness among older people. Because while you're working, it's difficult to maintain friendships or to build friendships because you're so busy. So what are some positive ways that you can stay connected and actually develop some new connections? Because once you're not at work anymore, I mean, I love everybody I worked with in Hastings, feel very blessed and fortunate when I'm able to connect with them, but I don't see them every day anymore.
Right, especially for somebody like you that did not live within the community that you work.
Right.
That's a real challenge.
Right. And, you know, I was kind of aware of that before I retired, and I think I worked my connections pretty hard the last 18 months about, okay, when I'm done working, what are we going to do? You're going to be done working. I'm going to be done working. How are we going to stay connected? What are some things we're going to do? Found that when I was in Florida, I'd have in my head, okay, on Monday I call this person when I'm walking the beach. I know, don't feel sorry for me. On Tuesday, I call this person. On Wednesday, I call this person. So that I rotated the people I was talking with, my connections at home, because it would be really easy not to stay connected. And this is something that I decided to do 2 years ago that was just, it's been so much fun and it continues to be wonderful, is going back to people that were important to me in my life that I had stayed connected with, you know, maybe a Christmas card or an occasional little thing on Facebook, and kind of ramping up my connections with them again. Mm-hmm. And one of the really fun things is a lot of those people, because they're old like me, go to Florida. And so we connect in Florida. Now, we couldn't this year because of COVID-19, but right before I go, I start connecting with them message or email or text and say, okay, you know, we're coming. What good day would be good for you to, you know, we'll go to lunch. That is really fun. And this year in the complex we stay in, it's about 30-some townhouses in Florida. We really made some stronger connections with the other snowbirds. And now everybody was kind of keeping track. We were the last ones to go home. And so we got a bunch of texts and emails. How are you? Did you get home okay? Was everything all right? And then how tanked. They all love the damn dog. So, you know, you have to make an effort. It's not going to happen if you don't do it. With the Florida group, we noticed there were a group of people that went out in Ozzie's of Florida. They watched the sunset every night. One of our neighbors said, why don't you come out and watch the sunset? Now, you could say no, but we said, okay. And we brought the dog out, and then that was it. Everybody, you know, when there wasn't social distancing, brought their little adult beverage of choice, and, you know, never gets old watching the sunset. But you have to make an effort. And so that's really the emphasis of that class is, okay, if I have to make an effort, how am I going to do it? And if you're an extrovert like me, it's fine. If you're an introvert, you're like, oh God, please kill me first.
Mary, tell us about the opportunities we have locally.
Oh, I just so admire Community Ed. Community Ed is always facile. Community Ed always looks at what are the needs of the community and how do we best do it. Down in Hastings, Stephanie, Adult Enrichment Coordinator, has a number of classes going on Zoom. And Zoom is easy, you know, and some people are going, oh my God, I do Zoom 17 times a day. Do I really want to do a class? It's fun. It's only, so what we're doing in Hastings is I think we have 4 or 5 weeks on a Thursday from 6 to 7. If people would like to have an adult beverage while we're talking, they certainly are welcome to do that. And we'll just get together and on a Zoom meeting, and it'll just be a chance to, A, stay connected, but B, talk about something. I heard some doctor this morning saying, you know, how we get through this. And one of the things she talked about was mastery. And she did not mean becoming a prima ballerina. She meant, you know, keeping your brain going and getting into a place where your head is not just full of what's going on in the world. It's full of, oh, something different. What I'm hearing is that some of the language classes online are going well. Arts classes are going well. I know Stephanie is working on that, getting a lot of good things that people can do the quarantine.
So what we'll do, Mary, is we'll ask people to go to communityed.org and to register, take a look at some things, and still stay connected even during this time frame. Mary, we're so grateful that you called in today. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy things are going so well.
And, you know, I love you and I miss you. And hello to all my friends in Hastings. And then as soon as this is over or, you know, maybe we can socially distance, like, on either side of the river, and I'll holler at you, and you can holler at me.
I like how you think. Mary O'Brien, she is still changing people's lives, and we love this about her. Thanks for calling in today, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know.